Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. It is really good to have you here. We got ourselves our Friday afternoon ahead of, well, about as much stress as you can put in front of a baseball series, or two, or three, or for everyone. And, of course, we got 49ers and Packers coming up on Sunday Night Football. Yeah. What's going on, Ray? What's going on, Matt?
Same as yesterday. Over to you.
It's not, though. It's the Langston Galloway era is beginning, Ray. It's a whole new day is dawning.
The Avery Bradley era, I think you mean.
You mean the Jordan Bell still has room in town era? Light a candle.
Good God. I was really hoping to ignore those three things, but clearly I've failed.
Wait until you reach the Netflix is bringing Tiger King back for a sequel portion of the show, right?
I saw that today and actually threw a shoe at my set. I mean, literally the worst show in history.
That's absolutely not true.
Yeah, oh, no, you clearly didn't watch.
No, because as much as I enjoy human degradation, I don't want to commit to hours of it.
Imagine if somebody slammed an entire Walmart parking lot into a zoo. That's the show.
So you've mentioned two things that I would never attend under penalty of death.
Oh,
man, that's entertainment.
You never go to the zoo?
No,
I'm
kids
going to the zoo tomorrow.
I haven't gone. Well, your children will enjoy it.
One
you won't.
Will. One of them's just going to sit there doing nothing.
Well, okay.
Oakland Zoo?
At least until the ocelot leaps on it.
No ocelots. There is a jaguar.
They got a great monkey cage.
Oh.
Love that monkey cage.
A number of excellent monkeys. They got chimpanzees. They got gibbons. The gibbons love to make noise.
The capuchins?
The last time I was there, it was adjacent to Fairyland, which tells you how long ago that
been
was.
Been a while.
Yeah, that's a long time.
You know what I also like? I like the tram. Up the hill.
Oh, the gondola?
Yes, the gondola.
Gondola my son asks for the gondola when we arrive at the zoo. Gondola?
I heard
the gondola?
I heard the A's ask for a gondola once, but they're not going to get that. And I don't think they're going to get the playoffs either, the way things are going.
Nope.
But we will get into all of the baseball stress a little bit later on today. We have plenty of things to get into, plenty of things to chop up, and we have some really interesting sound. From, I'll tell you, when we put in our next inside the 49er locker room request, I think we got to go with Josh Norman.
Yes.
Because we have heard the press conference that he did yesterday. We've got sound bites. We've whacked it up for you. We got ourselves an interesting dude. There is no doubt that that guy is an interesting dude. In terms of other interesting 49er quarterback, cornerback information that you do need, looks like Emmanuel Mosley is officially playing some football this weekend. They still got him as questionable, but I also heard that John Lynch announced that he is starting this week. So I'm going to go with what the GM said earlier today over the 49er injury report that our man Lucas just printed out for us. I'm not saying you didn't print the right thing, Lucas, but it says questionable, Mosley, knee. But I've also heard that John Lynch says he's starting, which with Aaron Rodgers coming to town as many decent cornerbacks as you can put on a football field, you should do that.
All that tells me is that John Lynch is not following protocol, because you're supposed to, you're never supposed to allow things like that to get out.
Okay, my question, though, is who's not starting? Does that mean Josh Norman goes to the bench? Is it Lenore and Mosley? Or
Lenore's not coming off the field.
Right? He can't, right?
No.
So I think that means Norman goes to the bench, right? If Mosley is actually starting, and maybe they'll sort of rotate in, you know, try to avoid giving Mosley too much of a workload if he is indeed still a bit banged up. But you would hope all three of these questionable guys are going to play, because Armstead and Kinlaw are on that list as well.
They're just going to nickel it to death.
We are going to talk to Bart Winkler a little bit later on this afternoon. If you don't know who Bart Winkler is, it's because you're not listening to Sports Talk Radio in Milwaukee enough. He is one of the best at talking to sports in the state of Milwaukee. And he is going to, that's the state of Wisconsin. Milwaukee's a city. Get it right.
Same difference, honestly.
Well, cheese curds. No matter where you look, there's cheese curds everywhere.
So good.
And they are good. We got him joining us to talk about how, isn't it kind of a role reversal that instead of the San Francisco 49ers, who, look, you just say the word San Francisco and 49 other states in the union will profile you as like granola huggers, all in touch with your own feelings, considerate about other people's feelings. It's like that's the stereotype that we wear. And, you know, if you got to wear a stereotype, it's not a bad one.
I'll take it.
Your stereotype is consideration and thoughtfulness. Okay. You know, I've heard worse. But look at the Green Bay Packers and the environment that they've got with Aaron Rodgers. It's like this weird, passive-aggressive, touchy-feely, what about my feelings, treat everyone with respect. Like, it's like Aaron Rodgers has brought Northern California front and center in the Green Bay's dramas right now. And it's a little bit of a role reversal. We're going to talk to him about all that coming up at 3:30 this afternoon. We are going to say hello to Uncle Baldy. Brian Baldinger stops on by. I have been told, I have been warned that another cornerback could be appearing on the show today, and Eric Davis, who was obviously a longtime NFL cornerback. So if he is able to figure out a time to stop on by, we're certainly looking forward to talking to him. We're looking forward to talking to you guys as well. Man, the baseball. The price of poker goes up with every game and every inning. Dodgers are at the Diamondbacks, not only tonight, but this weekend. So you got to figure that is a sweep. You know, I mean, like, that's...
They might actually win four games.
Out of three? Four out of three? Yeah. I wouldn't put it past them. The Giants are at the Rockies. Alex Wood against Peter Lambert. Lambert is making his first appearance in 2020, made 19 starts in 2019. So maybe the Giants can catch a guy who is just, you know, not anywhere in any sort of season form. You're not in mid-season form. You're not in late-season form when you're getting your first start of the year.
I've heard he's good with 700 days rest.
Look out. You don't sleep on Lambert with 700 days rest. Yeah. But Alex Wood tonight feels like this is, you know, tilted into the Giants' advantage just based on that pitching matchup. But Coors Field is where weird things always happen, including one of the weirder things, I guess, for the Giants' year is where they're the only team that went in there and actually swept the Rockies this entire season so far. And they might need to do that again because the Doyers are at the Diamondbacks, for goodness sakes, who, by the way, extended their manager. If ever you can get a year extension out of a 49-104 record, you must be a hell of a guy to talk to.
Either that, or maybe somebody there has figured out that their complete lack of players might be impacting that record more than the manager is.
It's not Torrey's fault.
Not entirely. It's hard for a manager to lose 104 by himself.
It sure is.
He's got to have help.
It takes a little help to lose 104.
No doubt. At the same time, you still don't usually get an extension. Right?
You know what that is? That's tantamount to a team apologizing.
Kind of. That's what I would think.
So you got the Dodgers at the rolling over and playing dead Diamondbacks. The Giants are at the Rockies. That is not easy, but it's also not impossible. You got to figure two out of three in Colorado because it feels like three out of three for the Dodgers in Arizona. And look at it this way. Until Arizona wins a game, I'm going to presume they ain't winning a freaking game in that series. Houston, by the way, will be at the Athletics, Greinke versus Montas. And to say that the A's, if they're going to do anything, better start doing it right now is an understatement. They've lost four in a row. They just got swept by the Mariners. And again, ticket prices are going up as the team is now clearly trying to alienate its own fan base in broad daylight. And I had lunch this afternoon with a diehard A's fan who is absolutely filing for divorce. Not from his wife, but from the A's.
Oh, he's, good. Because I was going to say, that's even more of a bummer.
He is done with the way that they have spit in his eye, on his loyalty, on a lifelong journey of fandom that is going to just crash and burn and fail. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it.
Well, I would take issue with the notion that they're trying to alienate their fans. I think they've succeeded.
I think that's mission done. Accomplished.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they drew 17,000 for the entire Mariners series. That's a below average crowd in a normal year for a day.
And that is a important series. I mean, it's not the Yankees or the Red Sox. I get that, but
it's a division rival you're competing with straight up.
Exactly. It's a division rival you're literally competing with for a playoff spot. And frankly, if you had won those four games instead of losing all four of them, you might actually be on pace to get that playoff spot. So it's clear that the fan base is finally saying enough. And how can you blame? It must be really hard for a person like your friend who's been a diehard A's fan, who's supported this team at times when it probably did not deserve it, to finally be like, all right, this is a bridge too far.
Yeah. No, to look at his face when he was telling me about it, you couldn't help but really feel, because people care. People who do care about their teams, they really care about their teams. And it's basically, this is the equivalent of the family dog dying. I mean, it really is. There is no way to pretend that there's anything good going on here. It's just depressing and it's sad and it feels like you're losing a piece of your childhood, of your daily routine, if you will. And the A's, without having left physically the area yet, are basically gone.
Yeah, but where? That's the problem that I can't get around, is I don't think they have a place to go, but they're burning the bridge while they're standing on it.
And yep. That, I think, is what makes it even harder to understand and harder to digest. It's one thing if your significant other is leaving you for their trophy, whatever, I guess. You can wrap your mind around why that might be happening. But to just be left without another port calling you home, it's brutal. It really is. We are just getting into today's show. I hope you're as excited as we are. We got an awful lot of stuff to get into, and we are going to prove to you that situations dictate careers. We have living proof of that. It was on Thursday Night Football. We're coming back with that. An awful lot on the 49ers and Packers. Stay with us today. Damon Ratto and Cole Skin were brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Really good to have you here. It's a gorgeous Friday outside. Hopefully it'll be a nice warm Sunday night when the Packers get here, and everyone going on down to Levi's is going to have a grand old time. I know that they're very excited getting fans back for the first time in a long time. They're telling everyone, get here early. It's going to be harder getting in the stadium than it used to be. Probably for a number of reasons, among, you know, any and all testing, any and all security, and then any and all lack of actual game day employees. Like, let's say, you know, a game day employee average used to be about 500 people working in this. I'm just pulling an imaginary number out of my rear end. You're probably at 400 now. You know what I mean? Like, there are fewer people returning to jobs that don't exactly fill the pocket as much as they should. And I'm going to wonder if that isn't going to affect entrance, egress throughout all sporting events. I mean, I know that it's a little bit harder to go get a beer just about anywhere these days. There are fewer people working in the service industry right now than ever before, certainly in the Bay Area. So I'm guessing that might have something to do with it, too. So if you are going down to the game, get there early, get in early, and be prepared to wait probably through a few things that you normally wouldn't be waiting through.
Yeah, patience.
It's a virtue, right?
No, it's not just a virtue. It's a necessity, because otherwise there will be fists. So just go there ready to wait and just deal with it, because everybody else has to wait too. It's not like they're picking on you.
Yeah, I mean, I think you always expect to wait a bit when you go to a large public event. But I will say, I have been to a couple of concerts over the last month or so, all checking vaccination or test records, and they've done pretty good with it.
Yeah. Well, you and I were definitely at the same concert where that happened, down at Shoreline.
And, well, last night I went to one at the Berkeley Greek, and they, you know, everyone had to have like a vaccine record either on your phone or your card or what have you, and they made pretty quick work of it. I was impressed.
So did you have to get in a line before you got in the actual line? Because that's how they did it at Shoreline. You
right.
stood in a line to get confirmed as vaccinated. And then once you were a vaccination confirmation, sensation.
Right. Yeah, it was more like a stop on the line.
You got in the other line.
Yeah, that
okay.
same sort of thing.
Who'd you see?
St. Vincent and Spoon.
Right. Oh, we talked about this show.
Yeah.
How was she?
She's spectacular. And Spoon is just one of my favorite bands as well. Really great show.
Nice.
Shout out the Berkeley Greek Theater. It's my favorite venue in the world.
It's an awesome venue.
Yeah.
It's seriously spectacular.
My wife makes me wait outside to check my ID when I come home.
That's
smart.
Fair.
Yeah. She doesn't know where I've been.
Also, you never know if there's like someone with a Mission Impossible mask of your face trying to get into the house, you know, steal your riches.
They can have all my riches.
Plunder
they
and can, raise
they
gold.
Take my, they can start with the wallet with the credit cards in it. Let's see them deal with the riches that come from that.
Good luck paying that off.
Yeah, they're going to send you a monthly bill for the riches that you just took from me. So, look, obviously we were saying it's rough being an A's fan. Guy texted in here. from the 510 saying, fellas, I am a diehard A's fan. I'm going tonight and I'm going tomorrow night. I'm 38 years old. I've seen the players come and go, and I've been faithful and will continue to be faithful. When the A's officially announce that they're gone, I'm going to continue to be a fan. If they leave, I'll reevaluate the relationship then.
Fair enough. And you know, respect. But yeah, I can also understand people who say I've had enough at this point.
That is a level of loyalty that I used to attach to a noble cause. I just think that you are fighting a cause against people who have no nobility. I mean, the A's, look, I love Bob Melvin. I think their players are great. I like David Forst. I like Billy Bean. John Fisher hates you. Dave Cavill panders to you. And now he's directly insulting you. I mean, there is a little something behind everything that guy does. There is nothing to be taken at face value. There is the public obvious message, and then there's the underlying message. Like, whenever he tweets out, like, a player just hit a home run in Oakland, boom, he's excited, and he wants to share that with you. Notice he is panning the entire empty stadium in those videos where he is just documenting how few people are coming to his games and how few people will be coming to his games going forward. I saw a fan named Gabriel Hernandez. I've never met Gabriel, but he is a diehard A's fan. He loves the A's. He makes YouTube videos about the team. Everything about him is covered in green and gold. The banner on his Twitter page is covered in green and gold. This guy has every conceivable box checked of card-carrying, young, love-this-team A's fan. He said, you know, in 2019, my all-access plan was roughly $400, and in 2022, my season ticket plan has been doubled to $840, and I'm not renewing. You can't do that to people. You can't do that to people under good circumstances. Coming out of the pandemic, you're intentionally trying to do less business in the city you occupy.
Yeah, if that story took place as they changed to an expensive new stadium, right? 400 to 840, we'd go, that's tough, but hey, new stadium, new players, it's the price of doing business.
It'll cost more to stay in the penthouse than it does in another hotel.
When that happens at the same stadium in the midst of a collapse to avoid the playoffs, as the organization drags their feet with efforts to make a new stadium in Oakland, it's a downright kick in the you know what. It's rude, frankly.
The interesting thing to me is that the only audience that they're pandering to at this point is the other owners. They want to walk up and say, hey, we're not drawing anybody anymore. What do we do? And the interesting thing is there are owners in a bunch of other places that have the same problem they do, only they're not trying to blackjack a citizenry, you know, into submission.
Yeah, that's the thing. See, if I'm Tampa's owner, right, and I hear that, I'm like, hey, well, maybe try marketing the team and not doubling season ticket prices, because I got a winner. We do market, and I still can't get people to come to this garbage fire of a stadium that I have. Like, the A's, if I'm another owner, unless I'm just totally naive about the way they've handled their business, I'm looking at them like, don't try to BS a BSer. I'm not buying it. You have no attendance in large part because you've done everything you can to keep people away.
Well, and look at it this way. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
On the nights where attendance looked robust, Giants are in town, fireworks night, Yankees, Red Sox, whatever it takes, whatever, because obviously just the A's playing in that stadium, it's not enough. There's got to be another element that really pulls people in. And on nights or days or weekends when that's happened, they've ruined those. Well, you know, BART's not running, so we're also not opening up our parking lot. And we doubled parking prices, and there's now limited parking, even though there's unlimited parking spaces. It's on nights where it was built to work, they made sure it didn't on some level.
Well, and it's also interesting that you brought up Tampa, because they have long been held as the team that needs to be taken care of by Major League Baseball first, to the extent that Major League Baseball can take care of them, because they have the same relocation problem that the A's do. Only they've tried to come up with this preposterous, we'll play half our season in Tampa and half our season in Montreal.
It's going to be great.
That is just, you know, laid there like a dead fish. And I think the problem that baseball has, I mean, the corporate capital B baseball, is that nobody's signing up for these anymore. There's no clamor anywhere, not even in Portland, which always will happily, you know, drop its pants for anybody who wants to, you know, entertain them with a, hey, we might come in 15 years. they're over that too, because cities don't have the kind of money to lay out stadiums the way they used to, because they got ravaged by COVID too. And that's the problem that the A's have, that they are trying to generate sympathy with their fellow owners when their fellow owners, you know, they got their heads cuffed around financially just like the A's did. And they're trying to develop leverage at a time when there's another team that's in front of them trying to develop leverage, and they can't do either. Once again, they are too late to even the party that they're trying to force their way into.
Right. Not only are you bad at business during the best of times, how could you possibly consider good enough to be doing business during the worst of times? I mean, it's one thing to be bad at it, and it's another thing to have lousy timing. And that's all the A's got.
And if
they're bad at it, and they got bad timing.
And look, I don't even know who the owner of the Tampa Bay Rays is, to be quite honest with you.
Stuart Sternberg.
All right, there we go.
Stewie.
But if I'm City X, let's use Portland since Ray already insulted them deeply. If I'm Portland and someone gives me a choice between John Fisher and what's his name?
Stuart Sternberg.
Stuart Sternberg. I'm taking Stuart Sternberg sight unseen, man. All I know is the Rays have had some success through all of the problems they got going on down there. The A's light themselves on fire whenever possible.
They really, really do. Look, it's a depressing situation that whenever they offer conclusion coming around the corner, they never go around the corner, and now they are stuck in just baseball purgatory. There's no doubt about it. Situations dictate circumstances. And the A's waiting till a pandemic to propose a $12 billion construction project is just chef's kiss, beautiful and perfect, if you really think about it.
Well, but in fairness, they would have brought that up earlier if they weren't busy getting told by five other cities to take a hike. I mean, this is the entirety of the Fisher era, not just the Howard Terminal example.
Right.
They've been trying to get out of Oakland for years without any place that ever works. They tried to colonize another part of Oakland.
Laney.
And they were stunned to find out that within 3 hours, people went, you can't take that. It's not yours. I mean, they literally believe to this day that they are entitled to be helped out of their situation, the one they created on their own, just because they're who they are. And I don't know how many more times they have to be reminded that they once were the third most popular team in Oakland. Then they were the second. And now, even with no competition, they managed to drop back to third.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you the third most popular team in a city where you're the only team? I didn't think that was possible, but they did it.
Yeah. There's a book in this. I mean, I don't know how many people would read
it. Yeah, no one was going to buy that book either.
Oh, man, I'd read it just because you know there's no happy ending.
Well,
whether they stay or go, the only happy ending is they're selling. And they have to sell to somebody who, you know, actually cares about the place.
Yeah.
And they have managed to salt the ground so profoundly that whoever bought it at twice what it's worth, never mind the stadium costs, is going to have to build a fan base from scratch. I mean, it's literally like having an expansion team in a country where baseball isn't played.
Yeah, the one thing about that is, because I keep going back to this, because I looked at it once and I was kind of surprised, but it's not building it from scratch. Because A's fans are, there's a lot of them, and when the team has been good and invested in itself and continued to be good, they show up. So it's just that they're also quick to leave when the team embarrasses itself and does anti-competitive things and tears apart a winner, right, which are all things that have happened over the past 20 years. So I actually think if the team was sold to
Joe Lacob.
Yeah, I was going to say a Mark Cuban type. But yeah, if the team was sold to Joe Lacob, I think, and you know, won 85 plus games and then signed a guy long term, I think they would draw pretty well.
Ownership matters. Period.
Okay, but here's the thing. Since you brought up Lacob, okay, well, if you want me to...
No, go ahead.
But if you brought up Lacob, from the time he bought the team to the time they started selling out the building again was 3.5 years. And the reason for that is because when you create that level of distrust, it takes a long time to rebuild that, even with faithful fans.
Sure.
And that's where the A's have made it far worse than the Warriors did when Lacob bought the team in 2010.
Agreed, but I do think in a 2 or 3 years with some winning, and again, you have to do certain things that reflect a commitment to the team and the town. 3 years in the grand scheme of sports ownership is not the end of the world. So if an enterprising person wants to buy it, it's not the worst opportunity.
Well, no, I mean, you would, unless there's a distressed price on it, and I don't know that there's going to be, just because John Fisher is not going to, you know, he's playing hardball now. There are people who want to buy the team now, and he doesn't engage in them. He's trying to get $2 billion for a team that's worth $1 billion, and then have the other guy pay for the stadium, which is going to be another $2 billion.
Yeah.
So he's trying to find somebody who will pay 4 times market rate for a team that basically he's blown his nose on since the day he bought it.
Look, Fisher sucks. Cavill's a henchman. They absolutely despise your business and your loyalty. You should stop extending it. And I understand frankly, that's Bob a hard Melvin, thing to do as a fan.
Melvin, Chapman, Olsen, these guys deserve better.
They absolutely should be off like rats on a sinking ship, but there's a level of loyalty there that Melvin has always expressed. And yeah, look at it this way. Those guys have agents who are going to get them out of an untenable situation. That's what you pay your agent to do. So situations dictate careers.
Yeah, but then it turns
into
a bad story like Marcus Semien, who went to Toronto and did nothing.
Right, exactly. You don't need guys like that around. Maybe they can offer a 40-year deferred payment plan to guys like Matt Olson and Chapman.
Yeah, they're going
to
love it.
$40 a year for 4,000 years.
Totally. Situations dictate careers, gentlemen. It was on full display, and Sam Darnold is living proof. The Jets are also a clown show, and I guess that is something that Robert Saleh is tasked to break that cycle. I don't know. Tough job, man. Yeah, it's going to be a tough job. Sam Darnold was broken down by Bill Barnwell after last night's game. I saw this tweet. I thought that this was just kind of telling. You know, situations dictate careers. And it's not just the situation of who's your owner, who's your coach, but game situations, actual in-game situations. A quarterback who is always trailing is set up to fail more than a quarterback who's ahead. With the Jets, Sam Darnold trailed on nearly 60% of his dropbacks. He was tied at about 15 and ahead with only, you know, like 25% of his actual dropbacks. So far with the Panthers, and he's looked great. He's trailed 0% of the time. He's been tied 25% of the time. He's been ahead 75% of the time. And he's on the second ever 3-game winning streak. How he ever put that together with the Jets at all, I still do not know. That should have been proof that this guy was enough to overcome a level of suck that was around him, including his coach, Adam Gase, who almost now should be like crucified after the fact. Because Matt Rhule, who has been coaching in the NFL for 30 seconds, is so much better than what Adam Gase's entire career has amounted to. And it is amazing when you take a guy who's been in a situation where he can't, you put him in a situation where he can, and look what happens. good things. Now, Christian McCaffrey got hurt, and he's going to be out a couple weeks, and maybe that is enough to change the focus on what you're looking at in the Panthers, and Sam Darnold will be in for a rude awakening. But, man, that guy is a pretty gosh darn good quarterback, and you can see it on full display.
It still looks up from where he was, and it reminds me that Sean Salisbury was beating the drum for Darnold throughout the offseason before he went to Carolina. He was saying, this guy can play. And weirdly enough, when you're surrounded by better players and a coach who knows who you are and what you can do, oddly enough, you have a chance to succeed. And that's why, one, I'm always suspicious of guys who are declared the next great mind in football, because Adam Gase was that guy once upon a time.
Yeah.
And he turned out to be a complete tire fire. The other thing is, quarterbacks and coaches, it's better off just like rating them together. Because if you get a good quarterback and a bad coach, you have a bad quarterback. And if you have a bad quarterback and a good coach, you have a bad coach. You need a good coach and a good quarterback to create a good coach and a good quarterback.
I don't know if that's always true, though, right? I mean, there are
exceptions.
Yeah, there are quarterbacks who can rise above. But if you're not one of those elite of the elite superstar quarterbacks, and I don't know that anyone expects Sam Darnold to be that at this point, it's everything. And it even goes beyond that, right? Because I think you could have a good coach and a good quarterback, and if your offensive line stinks, you got a bad coach and a bad quarterback of a sudden.
Look, so there is no sport where who's around you dictates what you could be as an individual as much as a team.
And in football in general, but I think specifically when it comes to the quarterback. Because for a position that has so much responsibility and takes so much of the credit and blame, it's so dependent on other people, whether it's the coach to call it, whether it's the offensive line to block it up, the running game to be working at least at a level that's respectable, wide receivers to catch the damn ball. You know, we talked about Justin Fields' debut, right? And I think if you look at the stats, you're like, uh-oh, I don't know if I want that guy starting for me next week. But if you watch the game, receivers dropped two big passes that would have totally changed what his stats looked like, right? So, I mean, these are the sort of things that, unless you're an Aaron Rodgers, like Deshaun Watson, actually, putting aside the other crap, his last year's performance is a perfect example of this. If you're that level,
right,
you can have a great year without coaching or the offensive line doing you any favors. But if you're not that good, there's a lot of pretty good quarterbacks who, look at Matt Ryan. He's a former MVP, and granted, he's old, but he's not supposed to look like total garbage.
Well, he's supposed to look upright, for starters.
And that's the point. Because, it's the line, it's the coaching, it's just you depend on a lot of other people.
Yeah, quarterbacks cannot save your ass if you are not prepared to help save his. And you're right. I mean, the reason why people fixate on quarterbacks exclusively at the exclusion of all other factors are the dumbest people on earth. Certainly the dumbest sports fans or analysts on earth, because it's not quarterback v. quarterback. It's offense v. offense.
And it's not even really that.
And it's not even that. Exactly. But it's, if you're going to compare Green Bay's offense to San Francisco's offense, that makes way more sense than comparing Aaron Rodgers to Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's a really good example of it, too, right? Because there's not a person in the world who's going to argue that Jimmy Garoppolo is a better football player than Aaron Rodgers. But we could certainly see the Niners offense outperforming Green Bay's offense on Sunday night.
Based on a third-string tackle who might be starting against from Nick Bosa.
Although I think, was it Rappaport, maybe somebody, one of the NFL Network guys said, actually, instead of going with the guy who has 14 career snaps, they'll take their right tackle, move him to left tackle, and bring in the backup right tackle. So, it's a question of, do you go to the guy with no experience, or do you move a guy so you have backups at two positions now?
We'll be asking Bart Winkler all about this. He's a talk show host in Milwaukee. He's joining us a little bit later. Brian Baldinger is going to join us in less than an hour from right now. And when we come on back, Kyle Shanahan talking to the media, Josh Norman talking to the media. And I have never heard Josh Norman talk to the media. I'm going to tell you right now. Pop the Popcorn. It's an event. It's awesome. That guy's interesting. A little goofy. A little out there. My kind of athlete talking into a microphone. You're going to hear it all if you keep it right here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Elevate Your Tailgate is back this season featuring the morning roast Joe Shasky, Butcher Boy. He's loving this.
Did you do this yet? Did you have your barbecue yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, mine is getting scheduled right now. I'm very excited.
Again, I did a brisket. How am I being left on the outside? Is it because my meat is so impressive, it intimidates the rest of you? That could be it. Anyways, Butcher Boy is joined by his co-host, Bonte Hill. They're going to be doing an episode on 957thegame.com, 957thegame social media channels. You can check it all out there. Elevate Your Tailgate, brought to you by Chef's Toys, a kitchen and restaurant supply store trusted by grill masters and tailgate kings. Visit chefstoys.com at a store nearest you. Now, do you know what meat you will be grilling?
No, but I do know that it will be the best meat that I grill this year, because that's what happens when Joe comes over.
Yes, I would agree with that. The man delivers the goods. A lot of Harris Ranch beef.
Oh, yeah. All the stuff. Honestly, I feel like those are the best. Working around a radio station, you get the occasional fell off a truck from a sponsor situation, and in my time at 95.7 The Game, the meat has consistently been the highest quality stuff to fall off a truck.
We have NFL players who join the show weekly. Many of them multimillionaires. Many of them. Listen to how excited they get about 10.5 pounds of quality meat.
It's true.
Listen to grown men get excited about the marbling that we have.
Oh, the marble.
Ray, what's it going to take to have Joe Shasky come over and grill in your kitchen?
court order?
That sounds about right. It really does.
No, it's amazing. Well, anybody, it doesn't matter what your income is, free stuff always works.
It works.
I mean, that's how billionaires got to be billionaires, by accumulating free stuff and swindling people out of the rest of it.
Yeah.
What's amazing about it is you can see, like, you know, celebrities who, you know, have access to an awful lot of whatever they want in their lives, and they get into one of those hotel ballrooms that gets turned into a swag room. It's like kids on Christmas.
The old gifting suite.
Look out, baby.
Got to get this iPad for my kid. Good. Yeah, you could just buy it.
Yeah. You could buy 12 of them.
Oh, yeah, you could go to your guy with the ball club and just go, hey, I want 12 iPads. Sure, what colors? And is 4 o'clock enough time? No, I mean, they literally could do anything. But if you offer them something for free, it won't matter what it is. Two left shoes. They're on it like, you know, like heroin.
No shade, though, because, like, I still get excited over free chips and salsa at the Mexican restaurant. And if it cost $5, I could clearly afford it.
And would buy it.
And I would, yeah. But it's better when it's free.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
Exactly.
The guacamole price point will make me walk away at times, though.
Oh, for sure. Don't overprice your guacamole. I know what an avocado costs, all right? You can't get one over on me. Also, you don't need like $15 worth of guacamole. It's just an appetizer, for God's sakes.
Plus, unless they're doing a tableside right in front of you, you know what the secret ingredient the restaurants want to give you when big guac is screwing you over? Got to look out for big guac, like big tobacco. They're usually in the back putting a bunch of sour cream in there.
Yeah.
When I am pro sour cream, but not at the price point of that $15 bowl of guacamole, which is really now half sour cream, and I'm just fat enough to be able to detect that.
By the way, it's not big guac. It's big cotto.
Big cotto. Yeah, you got to look out for big cotto.
That's true.
So anyways, elevate your tailgate back on. I want in. I understand why you're all very intimidated. But let me back in the circle of love. I'll be gentle. I promise.
It's a parade of double entendres.
It really is. I stayed away from the size of the meat thing. Here we go. Kyle Shanahan talking about the injury update to his backfield and what that backfield is going to look like.
Givens is out. Hasty's out. Elijah Mitchell will be doubtful. Armstead questionable. Mosley questionable. Kinlaw questionable. And Trey Sermon cleared protocol, so he's good.
Trey Sermon cleared protocol, so he's good. That's kind of where I wanted to go with all this. Number one, outstanding. Because he did not look like he got off that field in the type of, yeah, he'll be ready to go next week. So, guy's got a thick skull. Congratulations to him and the entire Sermon family. Number two, unofficially, the single smallest sample size recordable, one carry. I liked it. Like, he hit that hole hard. He ran hard. I saw him change games for the Buckeyes so many times that I was stunned when he was seriously healthy scratch week one. And I thought, what is the problem? What is wrong? And then he just caught such a bad break in that Eagles game. I really do want to see this guy get a chance to prove himself an NFL running back. And it looks like by just process of elimination and numbers, he can be expecting double-digit carries this upcoming weekend.
Should be RB1, right?
You'd think.
If Mitchell does not play, which seems to be trending in that direction, Sermon's the only other running back who's been on the team since the season started.
Yeah, Brunskill would be RB2.
So Matt Maiocco was trying to get to who the heart of the first running back on the depth chart would be. And when Kyle wouldn't answer, the follow-up question was, okay, so who's your second and third running back? The old process of elimination. Here we go.
Is that a trick question? One of our guys is doubtful, so I'm still holding out that he can get up, and so that will change who our three is. If he was up, it would have been Hasty, but he's down, so it'll be one of the other choices that are left.
Look, if Elijah Mitchell can play, it doesn't necessarily mean he will be RB1. Number one, he hasn't just guaranteed that job for himself based on how little of an NFL career he's had. Number two is if you're looking to use him sparingly, you know, first quarter carries probably aren't as important in this game as fourth quarter carries, so you're looking to leave a little in the bank instead of just spending right from the kickoff. So if Mitchell, who is doubtful with a shoulder, can go, I could still see Sermon being the first running back starting this game. Again, who starts doesn't matter as much as who finishes.
Well, and maybe more to the point, like you said, if you're trying to limit Mitchell's carries, he could technically be RB1 and play the first three snaps, but you could end up seeing more of Sermon throughout the day. And look, doubtful guys do not play very often. So I tend to think it's going to be Sermon as your top dude just because I can't imagine it's going to be a guy they claimed off of someone else's practice squad less than 2 weeks ago, which describes all of your other options.
Yeah, and truthfully, when you have this many injuries in one position, RB1, 2, and 3 basically have no significance.
It's like, who's going to be available and get on the field this Sunday?
Yeah, it's him. It's everybody's a running back, including Wisnowski.
Do we think we might see an outsized... Do you think we might see Deebo Samuel actually line up at running back? I never would have thought that if he hadn't been so squirrely when we asked him about it. So,
no comment on that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we're going to see him like in, you know, like Kyle Juszczyk is lined up at fullback. He is the power dot of the eye. But I do see him coming over in motion stopping behind Garoppolo or to the left or right and taking a carry. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him take a couple and maybe even Ayuk as well. And
end around.
Yeah, yeah.
Jet sweep.
And here's the other thing about that. If I set the over-under at 1.5 for Trey Lance snaps.
I'll take the over on this one.
I would take the over too, simply because, if for no other reason, he's a body that can run the ball.
Exactly. That's my thoughts exactly. I might even take the over on like 5. Because if you're trying to create any multiplicity out of the backfield, you almost need him in a game like this.
You want to get a little energy rolling through that stadium too? I don't know where if it weren't happening. Trey Lance checks into a game, that place is going to roar.
I mean, the home opener, like, this is people's first chance to cheer this guy on, right? That it would be great.
You're pulling out all the feel goods in the first home game of the year.
It's also the first chance for Kyle Shanahan to get booed when he comes off the field.
There's that, but I don't think Kyle really cares.
No, yeah. I wasn't suggesting that he does, but you know, the dynamic will be, both dynamics will be there. In fact, if Lance comes off the field at the end of a drive, they'll boo him. They'll want him to play defense too.
What's his back pedal like? Let's see what the cornerback situation
is. He's big for a corner, but we could give it a try.
Speaking of that cornerback situation, Kyle Shanahan.
Same as the running backs. I mean, in terms of, I'm not sure of it exactly because one is questionable. So I still got to figure out if he's going. I mean, if he doesn't, I think it'll be the same starting lineup as last week.
So the one who's questionable is Mosley.
It's not the interesting part, Kyle, and you know that damn well. We want to know what happens if he is healthy.
Stop evading the questions.
Now, do we have sound of John Lynch saying Mosley was starting? No. Okay. That's just something someone reported. Interesting.
Don't you just hate those someones?
I wonder if John Lynch spoke out of turn or spoke out of ignorance, if that makes sense. Like, obviously,
turn. Yeah. Excitement. He got a little ahead of himself. I think here's a guy who's watching practice, talked to Kyle, says, looks pretty good, and then they still put him on questionable just because. You know, there's no reason to say a guy's definitely in until you have to.
Oh, that's not the ignorance I'm talking about. He obviously knows if Mosley is going to play or not. But I wonder if Kyle told him Mosley is starting, or if, like you said, he just watched practice and said, oh, that guy was a starter, then he got hurt, he's still our starter probably, and assumed. And if that's the case, I don't know, because I don't think it's that easy of a decision. Norman, like you said, Lenore hasn't come off the field all year, so there's no reason to think he won't be starting. Norman looked good last week, and Mosley...
But for one 91-yard play...
Well, yeah. I mean, Lenore had a pretty big gaffe as well, but that's the nature of playing corner, right? And Norman had a penalty or two, but overall on the day, the secondary in general and Norman in particular were pretty good. Mosley is not Richard Sherman in his prime. Mosley is not even an established starter. He was a guy who was in and out of the starting lineup when healthy last season, if I remember correctly. So... I don't know. I actually think this is interesting. I'm not so sure I'd take a guy whose knee has been barking at him all year and who's still listed as questionable and just throw him into the starting lineup just because he's back on the active roster.
By the way, welcome, all good people, to your 3 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.